All right, let's grab our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When you find it, you'd stand with me out of respect to the scriptures. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and we'll read responsively as we do every service. Acts chapter 2 again. If you'd stand with me, I'd appreciate that. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sitting upon each of them, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, God. Thank you again for this church, Lord. All that it means to us, and Lord, what we know what it means to those that are looking and that are growing up, Lord. I pray that you bless this service tonight, Lord. I pray you bless our preacher, Lord. I pray that your spirit would give him utterance, Lord. And I pray that you just bless us for being here, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be very simple, very practical. I know we've got a busy week ahead of us, and I'm not going to necessarily cut my preaching short because of that, but I don't really have a lengthy message tonight, but I am going to just preach to you for a few minutes, very simple, very practically, on relationships. And you wonder how we coming out with relationships in this particular chapter of the Bible. Well, we'll get there in just a moment, but by way of introduction, I just want to say that to the atypical adult under this roof, if you will, this evening, you know, your life consists of a marriage, husband, wife. In some cases, you have other relationships. You have your daily routine, such as your job. You have your family, your home life. You've got your child rearing, if you will. You have your other relationships outside of your home, your friends and so forth. And then, of course, you have your church. Your walk with God is very, very important, and having a relationship with God. Of course, we zoom in on that very, very, very much. If you're going to be a success in anywhere in life, you better have a relationship with God and a close walk with God. But all of these, as far as your typical adult, I'm talking about the average Sunday night Christian, if you will, who is an adult, you have all of these areas that in these areas there are relationships that you deal with, your boss relationship at work, and of course your home life, and of course your spouse and so forth. To a typical teenager or young person, a child, if you will, your life consists of your home life. You've got your home, and you've got your mom and dad, the relationship there, that certainly needs to be nurtured and so forth. And you've got, in some cases, some of you teenagers may work a job, and that's certainly good if you work a job and learn how to roll up your sleeves and sweat a little bit and work and so on. And so you're dealing with a boss maybe the first time, and that boss-employee relationship, if you will. Maybe instead of work, you've got your chores around home, and your dad's your boss, amen? You answer to him as far as taking out the trash or taking out the... or cleaning your room and so forth and so on. And then you got your relationships with parents and others and maybe other siblings or other relatives and cousins and so forth. And then you too, you have church. And every young person, if you are under the sound of my voice, you ought to develop a walk with God. If you are old enough to read, you can read the Bible, amen? If you know how to spell out words, you can start reading the Bible. It doesn't matter how old you are under the sound of my voice, but you ought to have a time where you read the Bible and pray and so forth. And moms and dads, you ought to help them with that, by the way. Okay, you lead them by example, and they ought to know that you're a godly mama and a godly daddy, and they ought to know that you do read your Bible and that you do pray and you do have a walk with God, and it shows up in your life anyways, mom and dad. You go ahead and you put away the food, if you will, of the word a little bit. It starts showing up in your Christian life, and won't be long before your young teenager, your young child will soon figure it out that I don't know if mom and dad, you know, it doesn't affect their love relationship to you, but they'll soon really begin to understand how important God is to you, if you will. But you young people, you ought to walk with God, and you ought to have the church relationships, and have the relationships in the youth ministries, Patch a Pirate, and different things like that. And of course, can't forget school this time of year. You don't think too much of school, but you've got your school relationships and so forth. And our life, if you will, consists of relationships. And you know, if you're not careful, relationships, some of these very important relationships in your life, they can be hurt. They can be marred badly by a bad word or a bad statement or a bad day, if you will, and so forth. And it's so very important that the one element I talk about in just a moment is in the center of all your relationships. You know, there might be some of these relationships, as I'm kind of thinking here a little bit, it might be some of your relationships that I mentioned, they might be a little bit out of whack or a little bit out of tune. And you know what? Let me just say this. You know, I'm an adult man. I still have my mom and my daddy. I thank God for that. And I thank God that I have a good relationship with my mom and dad. I have no, it doesn't bother me one bit to tell my dad I love him. Doesn't bother me one bit to tell my mama that I love her. You know, and I make sure very, very much more than ever that when I leave their house in Maine that I give my mom a kiss, give her a hug. I don't get much of a response back due to her Alzheimer's and so forth, but she knows that I love her, and I have no problem giving my dad a hug, saying, Dad, I love you. And you know, all these, and I thank God for other relationships. I have a good relationship with my wife. I have a good relationship, to my knowledge, with my kids, and I have a good relationship, to my knowledge, with my church. I hope I do anyways, and I strive to that. I'm the pastor, and I God knows my heart. I love every single person in my church that I get to pastor and so forth, and I care deeply for my church, and I want to maintain them relationships, and I want it to be a loving and a wholesome relationship and so forth. But our life, if you will, is filled with relationships. And I want to do everything I can not to have these relationships, very, very important relationships, get out of tune. You teenagers, again, you know, you ought to understand the importance of your mom and dad. You know, you young people, you know, you teenagers, you young children as well, understand the importance of your mom and dad. You know what? Don't be afraid of your mom and dad. And mom and dad, don't be intimidated by your teenage child. You know what? You were a teenager once and so forth, and you ought to know how to go ahead and handle different things, because they'll go through peer pressure and so forth. But when they go through the peer pressure and different things like that, that's not the time to run away from them, mama, daddy. That's the time, you know, they'll go through peer pressure of sex and immorality and music and, you know, why do you do this? And why do you want to live the straight and narrow? Why do you want to live for God? And you know what? That puts a certain amount of pressure. It can be inside the church and outside the church, some young people and so forth. And when you see them kind of getting a little bit distant, and when you see them getting kind of a little withdrawn from you, boy, mom and daddy, there ought to be a red flag saying, you know what? I need to draw closer to my child because something's not quite right. And you better go ahead and bring them around to you and hug on them a little bit and tell me, young lady or young man, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. And you ought to be able to nurture that relationship, and they ought to be able to be open with you, mom and dad, and teenager. You ought to be able to trust your mom and dad and be open with them. Relationships. But I wonder, you know, in just typing out a few things here, a few thoughts here, I wonder if some of these relationships are out of tune. I wonder, you know, sir, if your relationship, if you've got your mom and dad still alive, I wonder if it's out of tune tonight. I wonder what it is that caused it to get out of tune. I wonder if maybe mom and dad, you've got a little bit of a marred relationship, or maybe a little strain between your relationship with your teenage son or teenage daughter, or your children, if you will. You know, I wonder if it's out of tune, and you know, it's causing a little bit of disharmony in the home, and maybe you've got to go ahead and do something about that. But I wonder if there's some of these key, very, very important relationships that are out of tune this evening. How about your walk with God? All of us ought to have that walk with God, but maybe you're not quite in tune with God. And as a result, it's affecting your relationships, everyday relationships that you have. But maybe your walk with God isn't up to par. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on relationship and relationships. I'm going to take an element from this particular passage. We know this passage very, very well. Of course, it's dealing with the starting of the first century church, if you will, and that miraculous day of Pentecost. Very long chapter, a whole lot of stuff there. If I had about 4 weeks to teach it, I'd love to do that sometime. But just to simply give you a few thoughts this evening about relationships, let's just go over a little bit of this passage, if you will. But it's the day of Pentecost, and many people and many different backgrounds and many different nationalities. There were over 3,000 people there at least, and perhaps many poor and as well as rich, and maybe along with middle class folks, and maybe some leaders of businesses, and many different types of workers were there. Men, women, children were there as well. They all heard the gospel, and the Bible says that the Bible teaches that there were 3,000 or more saved and baptized and added to the church. And I got thinking, what was it that made this one day so successful? What was it that made this one day so great? Was it the eloquent preacher Peter? He had a big part in it, but that really wasn't it. Was it the area around Jerusalem, that city on a hill, considered a beautiful city, a city close to our dear Savior's heart? No, that really wasn't it either. Maybe it was a gorgeous day to have a beautiful, have a preaching service, and maybe the temperature was just right and whatever. Yeah, but that wasn't it either. Maybe it was the fact that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That has to be it. Yes, we'll get to that in just a second. But something had to happen first. Something had to happen first before the Holy Ghost came in. The Bible says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. In one accord in one place. What was it, preacher, that happened that made this day so successful? Yes, it was the Holy Spirit of God, but it was not until the people were in one place, in one accord. That word accord, one accord, means to be in agreement with each other and so forth. In order for the Holy Ghost of God to move mightily on that particular day, there couldn't have been any bickering. There couldn't have been any screaming or no fighting here at this place. There couldn't have been any loud disturbances. You simply would find people gathered in one place, in one accord, in one heart, in one mind, in agreement with each other. We're here for a common cause. Don't necessarily understand everything that's going on, but you know what? Before they knew it, the preacher started getting up, and he started, the place was settled. I don't think there was any noise. They were in one accord, and it was then that the Holy Spirit could go ahead and move in and do the great work. And they were all filled. The Bible says in verse 1, they were in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. All of a sudden now, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, which talks about the Holy Spirit. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know what? They had to be in one accord. They had to be in one mind. They couldn't have been there fussing or bickering at each other or fighting or any loud disturbances. They had to be in one accord, and then God did a great work. So what's it? You know what? And I could say a whole lot about the church there. I probably will hit it along the way, but tonight I want to deal a little bit about our relationships. You know what? If you want to have peace, if you want to have a unified marriage, if you want to have a unified relationship in your life, you know what? You know, you've got to be in one mind and decide, hey, we're going to get along. We're going to speak right. We're going to do right. The Bible, as we preach about in Titus chapter 3, I think verse 2, speak evil of no man. You shouldn't be bickering at each other and so forth. Hey, you know what? We as God's people, we ought to be getting along, amen? We ought to have a love for one another. All through the Bible, you see, love one another, love one another, love one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And if we're going to go ahead and have a peaceful church, if we're going to have a peaceful marriage, if we're going to have peace with our children, if we're going to have peace on the job site, hey, if we're going to have peace, hey, we've got to be in one accord, and we've got to be zoomed in upon what God wants to do in our heart, and then the Holy Spirit will move in and do something big. He'll do something big. So tonight I ask you, is there a relationship, talking about relationships here for a few minutes? Is there a relationship? I'm talking about your key relationships, relationships that ought to make a difference in your life. I'm talking about your relationship with God. I'm talking about your mom and dad relationship. I'm talking about your boss and employer relationship. That ought to, you ought to have a good relationship, I believe, with your boss. You ought to have a good relationship with your church family. You ought to have a good relationship with your relatives. Hey, I ask you tonight, is there a key relationship in your life that's out of whack? It's out of tune. You know, in this sports world that we live in, you know, if a baseball team is going to win a championship, you know what? They've got to be of one mind. You know what? They can't be, you know, your locker room, if you will, cannot be, you know, them blistering at each other and bickering at each other and yapping at each other. Hey, you know what? You know, you should have had a home run tonight. Boy, you know what? That pitch was right to you. That was a perfect pitch. You blew it, man. You know what? In order for the Red Sox, that's a big team around here, amen? But if they're going to go ahead and go all the way, they've got to have a spirit of unity in the locker room. In order for a basketball team or a hockey team, let me tell you something. You know what? Any coach will tell you. Any sports analyst will tell you. You know what? The Bruins wouldn't have made it all the way, if you will, with yet the Stanley Cup if their locker room was in shambles. They were one accord. They were in one mind. They were on the same team. They wanted to go somewhere. You know what? Maybe the teammates didn't hang out with each other at each other's house because they kill each other. But you know what? They knew when they came to work, boy, they had to have one mind. They knew that they were going for one goal. They knew that they were going for the Stanley Cup. And they had to go ahead and have a good relationship. And when they got out on the ice and get out on the field, if you will, depending on the sport, hey, you know, they had to play together as a team. And then they're winners. And then they have success. We must be in one accord or on the same page, number one, with our marriage. You know, in a day and age where marriage is mocked at, it's laughed at, Hollywood just kind of thumbs its nose to marriage and makes a joke about marriage and so forth. And you know, in a day where over 50%, if not more now, of all marriages end in divorce. And let me just simply say this tonight. I'm not mad at you, and I'm not upset at you as your preacher. If you are divorced, don't misunderstand me. The reason why I would preach about this particular topic for a moment is because I like to go ahead and prevent more divorces from happening. Amen? I want strong families. And by the way, God wants some strong families. And God's not mad at you this evening. I don't believe that one second. God can still use you right where you at. So don't you misunderstand me. I love you as your preacher, and I'll do everything I can to help you. But you know what? Tonight, you know, you got your spouse sitting beside you. You know what? You ought to be in one accord with each other. You ought to have a love that for one another. You know, August 18th, 1990, boy, I promised that gal right back there, till death do us part. I would love and honor for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in poverty as in wealth, till death do us part. And I would go ahead and stay married to her. I will love her. I will cherish her. By the way, that's my job. I need to love her. I need to take care of her. And I cherish that lady right back there. I thank God every day for the love of my life right back there. And boy, you husbands, you ought to thank God every day for the love of your life. And she's still sitting beside you tonight. You ought to wave your hand and say, amen. I thank God for the godly wife that he's given me. Thank God for your marriage. But you know, I promised her that I would love and cherish her till I die. And whatever happened, by the way, till death do us part. Whatever happened to that? You know, Hollywood's gotten a hold of marriage, as we mentioned a moment ago, and made marriage, if you will, a bad taste in people's mouths. You got to go ahead and live together. You got to shack up, make sure you're compatible and so forth. But tell me, where in the Bible do you find that? It's not in my book. It's not in my Bible. You know, it's time for us to go ahead and get morally correct again and start living clean and pure again. Start waiting until marriage, if you will, to have any kind of touching and any type of sex and so forth. You know, that's the way God designed it. And you know what? It hasn't changed all these years. Amen. But we must be in one accord with our marriage. We need to love each other. You promised you would. You fighting and bickering, by the way, doesn't help your children one bit. Yeah, I'm not, I mean, you can ask and interview my wife all you want. I'll tell you, I'm not really, when it comes, I'm not a fighter and a bickerer. I really am not. My wife back there, she's not. And sometimes, she sometimes wish I'd get more riled up about things, but, you know, truth of the matter is, it's just water rolling up. What are you going to do about it if it's happened? It's, you know, whatever the case may be. But you know what? Sometimes we fight and we fume about things that really won't matter 5 minutes after the rapture. And you understand, if as a parent that still has your children under your home, you know what? Little eyes see that. And they see the relationship of a husband and wife coming home every single day, yelling and screaming at each other and saying things that should never be said to each other. And your young daughter, your young son, your teenage daughter, your teenage son goes ahead and sees that. And the truth of the matter is, they see that you are not in agreement with each other. You are not, in one accord with each other. And, you know, the Spirit of God will not go ahead and dwell there simply because all you do is fight and fume and in some cases go ahead and curse at each other and so forth. And all the while they're sitting there saying, man, if this is what marriage is all about, I don't want any part of it. And we wonder why the next generation has this twisted idea of what marriage is all about. Well, you know what? My mom and daddy, you know, they went to church and they served in the ministry. But, boy, when they got home, they'd fuss and fume at each other and they'd live like the devil and they'd yell at each other and so forth. And we wonder why the next generation doesn't want anything to do with the covenant of marriage. Because moms and dads can't get along. You know, I'm trying to salvage some marriages tonight. I don't know of any marriage here tonight in trouble, but you know what? Let me tell you something. You ought to get back to loving each other. A little bit cold at home, boy. You ought to do what it takes. Maybe it's counseling with a preacher. Maybe it's prayer. I don't know what it is, but you ought to do everything you can to bring your marriage back together. That husband of yours, man, ought to be your best friend. That wife of yours ought to be your best friend. You know, in my marriage vows, in forsaking all others, you know what that means? Before your buddies, your wife comes first. Before your budettes, your husband comes first. Amen. You know what? Your wife, your husband, boy, you ought to treat each other like a king and queen. You ought to treat each other like royalty, if you will. You say we can't get along. Yes, you can. You certainly did when you were courting. Amen. Your spouse to be, your wife to be, could do no wrong when you first laid eyes on her. Hubba, hubba, hubba. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Most prettiest thing in the whole world was your wife, and she still ought to be today. Amen. You know, you say, I can't get along, but you used to be able to. I can't get along. You used to be able to get along with him, or you used to be able to get along with her. Boy, you'd do everything you could, honey, to go ahead and smell right. You'd do everything you could to go ahead and get your hair all right and so forth. You know, one good thing about me today, I don't have to work hard on my hair anymore. It is what it is, babe. Sorry about that. It's just the way it is. But you know what? You used to do everything. You know, you'd smell just right. And men, I don't know if you're a cologne kind of guy, but you get the manliest cologne in the world. You know, maybe, back then you wouldn't have to. I have to suck in my gut a little bit. Now, you know, earlier, I got to tell you the story. It's okay. Earlier, this is a, and I can't believe I let him take pictures. But it was after choir. I was thinking, man, you know, tomorrow night I get to get up and preach and so forth. I'm kicking off of preaching and so forth. I said, hey, it'd be good, cool to go ahead and maybe wear the garb just to be part of it and so forth. And I went ahead and I tried that one on. You know, and my deacon and youth leader said, oh, preacher, you know, they were there cheering me on. Yes, sir, preacher. You know, they were there literally cheering. Come on, preacher, you can go ahead and get it that. You know, everything was fine. I kind of got it. I said, it's a little tight here, but I got it up. And then, you know what? No joke. I think there's even pictures. They said, no, preacher, you can go ahead and get on. Slug it in. You know, and they and the, both of these guys, big guys now, okay, you know, they were just putting that thing together. And I was ready to take it off. I couldn't breathe. Brother Tom back there, bless his heart, he was there. Hold on, preacher, go take a picture. And then Brother Joel, I want to take a picture. They want to take about 15 pictures before I was all set. Can I get out of this thing now? I was peeling that thing off. And then everybody's trying to, all these different, well, preacher, I think if you just wore a t-shirt underneath, I don't know if the t-shirt's going to help either. I don't know where I went with that, but I'm saying, when you two were courting, boy, you were the best friends in all the world, weren't you? You'd do everything you could. You'd write the notes. Sir, you had the right words to say. You wouldn't have any troubles taking time sitting down and taking a piece of paper and just writing a love note to her. It wouldn't bother you one bit, ma'am, to go ahead and years ago when you were courting, sit down, write a nice 2 or 3 page love note. You would say, well, we can't get along, and so you decide to go ahead and go the wrong direction with your marriage and split up and whatever. You know what? I wonder if tonight, and I don't know of any, but I do wonder if tonight, maybe there's some marriages that, the old Sunday, you've got your Sunday best on as far as your marriage. You come in and everything looks good. I wonder if tonight if there's, you need to rekindle that sweetness again. I wonder tonight if maybe some marriages need to get back into agreement with and one accord. And then you know what? When you're willing to go ahead and be in one accord and agreement, you'll be amazed what the Holy Spirit will do, the sweetness that'll come back into your marriage and into your home. Your kids will be able to look and say, you know what? I know my daddy's a hard worker. I know my mom's a hard worker. She cooks and cleans, and my daddy goes to work and so forth. But you know what? I see the love that they have for each other. And your kids will say, I want a marriage like my mom and dad. Because I know they love each other. They're in one accord with each other. They're in tune with each other. Another thing on my list here of relationships. Be in one accord with your boss. Won't take a whole lot of time with it, but you ought to be in agreement with your boss. You know what? He entrusted you. You sat down and he gave you an interview. He gave you an interview, and he thought you're the man or the lady, if you will, for the job and so forth. And says, man, I want this person to go ahead and work for me. And he gives you the responsibilities and so forth. And when he does that, he entrusted you to go ahead and do the job. He entrusted you to go ahead and punch in the time, whether it be 8 o'clock in the morning, you work till 4, whatever the case may be, work till 8, get done at 4, or maybe work a little overtime if he asks you to and so forth, if it doesn't interrupt you with your spiritual life, I think. But you know, he entrusted you, if you will, to go ahead and come to work to work. And to work hard. Not to just get by and kind of cut the corners and so forth, but you know what? We need to get back to old-fashioned hard work again. Amen. You know, we're a very lazy, characterless society. We need to get back to some strong character. And you know what? You ought to have a good relationship with your boss. You know what? I tell you, every boss that I had a good relationship with. And you know, and the guys at work, they'd make fun of me. Oh, you know, you just kiss it. No, it was not. You know what? My boss entrusted me to go ahead and do a job. I'm going to do everything I can to do that job. And by the way, it's no wonder, listen to me, it's no wonder why I got promoted, simply because I did my job. I showed up. You know, work hard. get along with your boss. You know, when I was at Calvary Baptist Church as an assistant pastor for 10 years, it was never my agenda. Never. My boss and my preacher was my boss, therefore I do what he tells me to do. Ministry got big enough, he needed to hire an assistant pastor and a bus director and so forth, that's what I did. But you know what? It was never mine to go ahead and you know, I had certain decisions that I could make. I knew what they were within my ministries and so forth. You know, he didn't want me coming to him for every single question, every single thing and so forth, you know, use some judgment calls. But when it came to some big decisions and different things as far as the ministry and so forth, you know what? It was my duty to go to him and just not go it on my own. It wasn't my agenda. You know, he was my boss. He counted on me to go ahead and show up, do my job, go to work. Every other job that I went to, they count on you. You know what? It's what I'm saying. You need to work hard. You need to have a good relationship with your boss. You know, some will think I'm nuts for saying this, but I'll say it anyways. You know what? I did it with my preacher often because he was my boss for so many years. I knew when his birthday was. I knew what he liked for food. Boy, you know, he was very easy when it came to food. The preacher, I'll take you out to eat. You know, it didn't matter. Food was food to him. And yeah, you know, I'll go ahead and take you out to eat. And, you know, I'd go ahead and treat him and so forth, you know, because I cared about him. You know, I'd leave, you know, his favorite drink or whatever on his desk and so forth every so often. And yeah, he liked orange juice. So once in a while in the morning, I'd bring him an orange juice and so forth. And he knew it came from me. It was just my show of appreciation to my boss, if you will. I did it with bosses that I had out in the world, too, as well. I had a boss here in Chicago that you know, everybody said, man, he's hard to get along with and so forth. I never really had a lick of trouble with him. But every so often, I would just simply write him a quick note, and I found out what his candy bar was. I'd go ahead and just lay it on his desk, all the note was just, thank you for my job. If I didn't have my job, I couldn't support my family. You know, if we go ahead and look at our job in proper perspective and realize that you need your job to support your family and pay your bills, you wouldn't gripe about your job. Well, you know, it's the same old routine. Yeah, praise God for your job. It is the same old routine. Same old, same old. I know it can be the same thing day in and day out, and so that's what I like about the ministry. Nothing's ever the same. Amen? But you know what? But when I went to work in different things and out in Chicago, different places and so forth, you know what? I mean, I counted on my same old routine every day. But you know, I thank God for my job, because if I didn't have it, I'd be in the poorhouse. Work hard. In one accord, if you will, with your work. One accord with your family. We need families. You know what? We ought to have godly families coming out of Faith Baptist Church. We ought to be a good example. I'm talking about with our families when you gather around, going places, going shopping and different things like that. And there ought to be something different about you. And people ought to go ahead and see that when you're in the restaurant, you're not yelling, hey, you know, and throwing food at each other and whatever and yelling and screaming at each other. You know what? We're saved. We ought to be godly families. And you know what, one sure way, and God knows my heart, you know I'm for soul winning and going out door to door and so forth, but you know what, your testimony ought to speak volumes for whom you serve, Jesus Christ. You know, and your family ought to speak volumes for whom you serve, and boy, that's why it's important in how we dress and what we say, and you know what, it'd be sad if one of our family members, our church families, if you will, pull up to a stoplight and you've got the guy next to you, and here you are, your music bopping, boom, 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 you know, and you're, what's that say to the lost world? What does that say to the lost world? Was there, you know, twanging away and bam, 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 and whatever the case, we're, you know, bobbing our head and the whole family's in there, yeah, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm not going to do that again. But what's that? You didn't like that, did you? But anyways, what's that say to the lost world? They got Jesus. Their behavior is no different than mine. Our families, you know, we need to be in one accord. You know, I talked about husbands and wives yelling and screaming at each other, but you know, Maybe if husband and wives wasn't yelling and screaming at each other, siblings wouldn't be screaming at each other. Maybe husbands and wives aren't screaming at each other, but you know what? You got screaming siblings, and you know, I hate you, and you know, I'm gonna come after you, and you know, and they slam the doors and they pound the walls, and you know, whatever the case may be. Certainly isn't a relationship that's in one accord. Certainly isn't a relationship where the Holy Spirit of God can go ahead and work. Our families, our relationships, family members, other family members. I'm not talking about our inner circle of family, but how about them aunts and uncles? How about them brothers and sisters? You know, I've got brothers and two older brothers and so forth, and I certainly strive, if you will, to go ahead and have a good relationship with them. I'll be honest with you, I know they don't see eye to eye with my life, if you will, and so forth and so on. And I know I had one talk with my brothers. He kind of scratched his head and said, I don't understand why it is you do what you do. I said, it's not for you to understand. It's what God has for me. And I just talked to him and so forth. But you know, sometimes I think, you know, not to be too transparent, I have a good relationship. I maintain a good relationship with my siblings, but sometimes they don't quite understand why it is you have the stand that you take. And you know what? And when you get to your family reunions, it's not a time for you to go ahead and compromise. Well, you know what? There's pastor. There's a preacher. You know, he's the preacher, and you know, he got the drinking and all this going on. And you know, if that's kind of family reunions, if that kind of stuff's going on at family reunions, you may just need to very, very graciously bow out of it, if you will, if you can. Not be around the stuff. But if you go to them, that doesn't mean that you, well, you know, I'm so sick and tired of this Christian robe, so to speak. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and change my jacket, so to speak. I don't want to, just want to kind of blend in with the family at this big family reunion. And before you know it, you know, you start doing things and try to warm up to them and maybe tell them the jokes or whatever the case may be. Hey, you know what? Your family members, you still ought to strive, though, however, to have a good relationship with them. Maybe it's, you know, I know that as an adult child, if you're not careful, you know, you can let a lot of time go by without communicating with your parents and so forth, and that can kind of cause a little bit of animosity. You know, if you still got your mom and daddy, boy, you ought to be in close connection with them. You really ought to be. Stay in one accord. I'm talking about adult children now who have mom and dad still around. Stay in touch with them. Stay in one accord. Stay in agreement with each other. Stay in agreement with your brothers and sisters. You know, I know of a sister and brother that literally at the end, well, in their adult years, they come to a point of literally hating each other. Over a very foolish, I mean, any reason's foolish, but this is really, really foolish. Really, it was, I just say, you know, something fell off the back of her pickup, if you will, and I'll just let you know, I can be a little bit, something fell off and it kind of did a little bit of damage and so forth, but it was easily repairable. Let me tell you something, that caused a division in between that sister and brother for the rest of their life. He has long since passed away. I'll never understand that. They couldn't even be in agreement and sit down, you know, and I know there was the one party tried to sit down and try to resolve it, say, listen, you know, I don't want this, you know, I'll buy you a whole new thing, I'll go ahead and take care, I don't know, whatever the case, no, I don't, didn't want anything to do with it. That bitterness and pride and all, everything went to his grave. You know what, you ought to, maybe you've got some severed relationships in your own family. You know what, Christian, you know the right thing to do is you go to them. You do your part. And if they don't want anything to do with it, then at least you can go ahead and go to your grave saying, I tried. God, I tried. did my best. Wanted to try to bring the relationship back together. And, you know, but let me just say this. Many times, not in every case, many times they will slowly but sure, depending on the infraction, they will slow but sure come back together. Maybe there's going to be church relationships. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to go to a church and, you know, every Sunday morning, Sunday school, every Sunday morning church, every Sunday night church, every Wednesday night church, and then all the things in between and so forth. And you know, you kind of get to know each other and you kind of realize that everybody's different, aren't they? Just the way it is. Thank God. You know, thank God that not everybody was like you, amen? I thank God not everybody was like me. You don't have to amen that one. Amen, amen, amen. We'll move right along so I don't hear any amens. But you know what? Our church, you know what? But the great, if you want God to bless our church, then we need to love one another. In spite of. Okay? You know, whatever. You know, there'll be little differences here and there, whatever. But you know what? I believe that every child of God can find common ground. Sometimes they just don't want to look for it. Sometimes they just don't want to look for it. Well, I think I should, you know, that ministry should have been run that way or that route or that whatever, you know. Blah, 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 blah. You know, hold on before you start blowing up and getting all blue and puffy and everything. Let's settle down. Let's come down a little bit. Let's calm down a little bit. Let's just talk it over a little bit. It might be someone needs to be the bigger Christian in that situation. Say, hey, let's figure this out. Because our relationship is too important to be broken up. You know, every relationship in your church, this church meaning, ought to be very important to you. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to go ahead and, you know, you're not going to flock to someone's house, you know, be best buds. You know, I know there's certain relationships like that and so forth. But you know what? We're all on the same team. We all need to be going the same direction. You know what? What was it that made this day so successful? Verse 1, in one place, in one, all in one place, in one accord. And then the Holy Spirit could go ahead and do his perfect work. I ask you, how about some of the relationships, some of the human relationships that you have that are very important and dear to you? There's some sort of relationship that needs to be brought back together. With God, all things are possible. Say, I don't think so. You don't understand, boy. You don't understand the big wedge between. Well, you know what? Listen to me. I know that all things can be done through Christ who strengtheneth me. I know there's nothing too hard for God. And it might take a little while for these relationships to go ahead and maybe be close, if you will. But, you know, let me ask you a question. If you so desire that relationship to go ahead and be rekindled and so forth, when was the last time that you took that relationship to God? Said, God, you know, I love that neighbor or that friend or my brother, my sibling, or whatever the case may be, the one that's got the division. You know this relationship, God? Really want to go ahead and have that sweet, special relationship with them. And it just seems impossible, God. If you really want it, I ask you, when was the last time you actually took that relationship to God every day, saying, Lord, give me wisdom. God, do something in this relationship. I want that relationship back. When was the last time? I want to be in one accord with that person. I want us to have a love and have a friendship and have a relationship again, if you will. And then if you want a blessed life, you must be in one accord with God. You must be in one accord with God. How do you get in one accord with, you know, very simple. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Read his word. Search the scriptures. Make this an everyday part of your life. I know this is a no-brainer type of stuff, but sometimes it's the very simple things that we kind of push off. how you're going to go ahead and have a strong and a good relationship and have that relationship with God where the Holy Spirit can really bless and pour his blessings upon you. You know what? You got to get close to him. How do you get close to him? Right here, Bible. His words. You got his words right here. Right here. You've got God literally right here. Prayer. Have that prayer time each and every day. Don't put it off because of a sports program. Don't put it off because of a friend. You know what? What a friend we have in Jesus. Boy, you ought to make sure you meet with that friend before anything else. Make sure you don't push him aside each and every day. You know, it might be that you're having some trouble in these other relationships because you know what? Your relationship, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but your relationship with God isn't what it ought to be. You know what? Maybe there's a little bit of division there with you and God. Not as far as salvation. Nothing can ever change that. Thank God. But you know what? But you know in your heart whether you're really in tune with God. And you're wondering, why am I not being blessed? Maybe there's some sin. Maybe there's some junk. Maybe there's some things in your life God's been trying to weed out of you. But you want to play with it. You want to play with that pet sin. And you know what? As a result, it's causing a division between you and God. And God will not bless sin, sinful living. He can't do it. You know, it might be that you need to go ahead and do everything you can to make sure you have a clean slate before God. And you know what? Then he'll go ahead and he'll pour his blessings upon you. Prayer. How do you become one accord with God? Your Bible, prayer, church attendance. You know, I don't say it enough, really, but I say it often, you know. Man, when the doors are open, be in church. You know, and I know work, different things. I understand that. You know, I can offer grace with that kind of stuff and so forth, but man, show up. Be in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We don't have summer hours here, amen? Thank God we don't. I couldn't live on 1 hour a week. 9 o'clock, coffee, little sing-along, 10-minute sermonette. Go home, eat, drink, and be merry, whatever. Couldn't do that. I don't know about you, even, you know, I know I'm the preacher and I say, you know, be in church and I need the preaching and so forth. But, you know, even as a layman, I understood the importance of my church attendance. I understood what it meant between my relationship with God and I. You know, church attendance in my family, even before preaching, was not an option. I mean, if it was work, different things, they understood that, but it was never an option. You know, you know, one of the greatest ways you can build your family relationship, come to church together. Come to church together. Pray together. Church attendance ought to be very important, ought not be an option. It'll help you in your relationship with God. I need preaching. I love preaching. I love getting preached at, but I need it. We all do. Christian service. You know another way to go ahead and get to know God? Get involved in the ministry. There's all kinds of things to do. You know, all kinds of things. You say, preacher, what can I do? Well, it won't take long before I can show you something. Hey, can you drive a bus? Can you keep it between the ditches, if you will? Could you work a Sunday school class? Can you go out sewing? Can you pass out tracts? Can you hand out flyers this week for VBS? I don't know. There's all kinds of, hey, can you clean the building? You know, I'll say this, and I'll just make a plea. I know there's still several holes this year of cleaning the building, maintaining the building, cleaning it. It gets done, and there's no complaint here on our part, obviously. It's going to always get done. It's always going to smell nice. But the truth of the matter is, you know, but maybe there's an area of service that you could be involved in. Maybe singing in the choir. We could use some choir members. We could use, you know, if you could be faithful and loyal and be in your place for practice and singing Sunday morning, man, we could use you in the choir. Christian service. What was it that made the day of Pentecost so successful? Was it the preacher? It was a very important role, but that wasn't necessarily it. Was it Jerusalem? Was it a beautiful day? Was it the Holy Spirit? Yes, the Holy Spirit obviously was the one that made it all happen. But you know what? There's one element that had to happen. They were all in one place, and all in one accord in one place. You want successful relationships, you know, probably the biggest, when it comes to counseling, some of the biggest counseling issues that I deal with is that of relationships. The harmony is gone, the peace or whatever between maybe husband and wife or children or somebody else, and a lot of it's just simply relationships. I ask you tonight, how about some of them key relationships in your life? Are they out of tune? How about that? How about you, husband and wife? How about you, parent and children? Children and parent? How's your, you know, your work relationship? You know, the people at your job, the only Jesus that they may see in you is you. That they may see is you Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The only glimpse, if you will, of Christ to a certain degree that they may see is your testimony. When you get there, especially, you know, if you like Mondays, I don't know if you're normal or not. You know, Monday mornings, you know, I know, boy, you have a good weekend and so forth, and then Monday morning that alarm clock goes off me and you'd like to take that thing and just sling it across the room. You know what I'm talking about? I'm glad somebody's honest. I heard that. But you know what? You know, and Monday mornings, maybe it's every morning, I don't know, but Monday mornings, I know as far as I am concerned, especially when I went out into the world, if you will, to work, you know, I mean, I had to really work on my spirit. I mean, I had to, you know, going to work and making sure I was dosed up with coffee and, you know, making sure everything was just right. Because let me tell you something, I know that, man, you know, good morning, good morning. What is this? So, what are you smiling about? It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Do you understand that? You know, I understood quickly that, you know, the only glimpse of Christ that my coworkers may see is me. You know, and if I need to live a life that's pleasing to Christ, and whether it be Monday morning or whatever morning is your worst morning, or maybe it's every morning, but you know, you need to be, hey, focus. Lord, help me to have the right spirit when I go in and punch that clock. If my boss says, good morning, you know what? Smile. Good morning, sir. Sometimes you may have to fake it. But don't go ahead and have a bad spirit, because you know what? You're not going to reach your coworkers very well if you have a bad spirit, grumpy spirit. But I ask you, reiterating, how's these relationships in your life? I just kind of talked to you tonight. Very simple, very practical. But you know what? When you get the Holy Spirit center point in your life, when you get the things, maybe the sins or the disagreements, or you get yourself in one accord, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do in your marriage. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do in your ministry. Sunday mornings, you know, you go into that Sunday school class. Boy, you know what? You ought to go in with a smile. Yeah, I'm tired. I worked all week. Still going with a smile. Good morning, kids. God is good. Because he is. Your children, your teens ought to be able to see Jesus in you. You know, you think about it. A lot of the children that we minister to here, you think about the kind of week they had. Many of them, not all of them. Not necessarily the kids that we have on a Sunday night. It's not necessarily that way. I hope it isn't, especially with our families here Sunday night. But you think about a lot of your kids and a lot of the teenagers, you know, even some adults that you minister to, get a chance to minister to every single Sunday morning. You know what? You think you might have had a bad week. Put yourself in their living conditions for a while. This morning I rode the bus And I went in and made a call down there on Forest, went in, knocked on some doors and so forth, and try to wake up some kids and so on. And I had to knock on a couple doors. I didn't quite know what apartment it was, but that's okay. Everybody, I woke up everybody in that building, I think, one was this man, and just I'm sorry, sir, it wasn't the right door. But I said, I gave him a tract. Thank you for not getting upset with me for knocking on your door. I said, that's all right, sir. But now I got a glimpse at his apartment, and it just, it's amazing. And then I hit another door, and a similar situation. Then I got down to where the kids were. They couldn't come this morning or what have you. But I just looked at their mom. Mom was just, I mean, just, it was a little boy that answered the door. Mom came out and said, no, they're not going. We had a late night last night, and she was just dingy, dark apartment. Kids weren't even dressed. No structure or anything. And sometimes we think we have a bad day. Put yourself in them sho their shoes a little bit. It makes me, and even on my bad day, sometimes on a Sunday, man, oh God, give me strength and so forth. Even me as preacher, but you know what, boy, this morning, I really needed that call. I woke up tired. I'll admit, I was a little tired this morning, and I didn't sleep well last night, and just a little tired. And Lord, I said, and all during the bus, Lord, give me strength, and I got to preach, and I want to be fresh and different things like that. And you know what? But boy, when I hit them three apartments, boy, God humbled me. You put yourself in their shoes a little bit. Why, I admonish you, you teachers, and you deacons, and you leaders, and you youth workers, and whatever leadership position, you know what, boy, you go in there. Yes, you may have had a bad week, you may have had a rough week, and whatever the case may be, but you go in there already prepared. Because let me tell you something, you know what, I guarantee you, most any of our teachers here tonight, most any of our leaders here tonight, when you go ahead and you compare to some of the children, if not a lot of the young people that we minister to around here, well, you've got it good. You really have it good. People say, why is it we do run these buses and spend the money on fuel and trying to fix the breakdowns on buses and trying to get kids to love God? Because it's important in the sight of Christ. Why would we go ahead and literally work all week long, every night this week? Because you know what? I believe Jesus would do it. Relationships. Holy Spirit of God in the center of your relationships. Teenager, how's your relationship with your mom and dad? Maybe, well, preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand. But teenager, why don't you go ahead and you take the first step and you sit down with mom and dad and say, I just need to talk to you about this. How about your parents with your kids and all the relationships I mentioned? I ask you about your relationships. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight, God. And just kind of talk to my people tonight. Was it real deep? Was it just very practical, very simple? But I do feel very necessary. Lord, more than ever, we need to love one another, whether it be a husband and wife, whether it be a children and parents, whether it be a pastor and people, whether it be whatever relationship, we need to love one another. We need to love as you love unconditionally. I pray, dear God, that tonight maybe some relationships that aren't this, maybe there's nothing wrong with them, but maybe some reinforcement in some relationships tonight. maybe some reinforcement in a husband and a wife's relationship, maybe some reinforcements in a family relationship, maybe reinforcements, and maybe there's some severed relationships here tonight, and maybe some need to lay that relationship on the altar and ask you for wisdom, and maybe take that first step of a phone call or whatever to that one and saying, let's try to work this thing out. I pray, dear God, that you would work this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, I know I just kind of chat with you tonight, just a little bit, but maybe God spoke to your heart tonight. And it's going to play if you need to move tonight. We love you, and we thank you for today, God. We thank you for all that we got to be a part of here at Faith Baptist Church. God, I thank you for the impact that our church has in this community. I pray that we would more so have an impact in this great community of ours, Lord. I pray that our light would always so shine before men. This church would always be a lighthouse to the lost and to this community, Lord. I pray you continue to bless our church, bless the ministries here. Lord, so many prayer requests that were mentioned. I ask you to continue to pray for Alex, Lord. Pray, God, that you'll help his mouth to heal, and that all the surgeries that he will still be partaking of will go well, that he will heal quickly, Lord. And I ask you to be with this Jackson Green that Brother Tom turned in earlier, who's in critical condition right now. I pray, God, that you'd surround him, and I pray you touch him and give him health and give him strength and healing, Father. And Lord, I ask you to be with Caden, one of these little girls on our bus route. I pray, God, that you would just be with her, keep her safe, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd work on our heart, Lord, and I pray that she'd be back on the bus here soon. And Lord, I pray for the Capellos who are traveling. I pray that you'd give them a wonderful time together as a family. Give them some refreshment time, Lord. Bring them back safely to us, Father. And ask to be with Michelle, who's got poison ivy again. I pray, God, that you'd touch her, and I pray that she would be healed of this very soon here, Lord. And God, ask to be with Wendy's mom and her health, Father. I pray you'd meet the need there, Lord, and be with Stephanie's grandmother, Father, and be with Bob Higby, who has some health situations and some lymph nodes that were removed. I pray, God, that you'd give him quick recovery, and I pray all would be well with his health, Father. And Lord, I ask to be with this Abby, this teen girl Abby, who came to church last week, got saved, and was here for the second week, Lord. I thank you for her desire and her hunger. I pray right now that you place a hedge of protection about her, Lord. I pray, God, that even in the community that she lives in, and the peer pressure that she may face, that she would go ahead and stand, and having done all to stand, I pray she'd keep the armor of God on tight, and I pray she'd continue to be hungry and want to learn more and be able to take a stand against their peer pressure that I know she will face, Lord. I pray, God, you'd protect her from the devil. I pray, God, that you would help her to make the right choices, and even now, help her to make right decisions in her life, Father. And Lord, I ask to be with Karen's personal care assistant who's going into the hospital, Lord. I pray you'd be with that situation. I ask to be with Brother Rich, Lord. I pray you touch him and give him strength tonight. Lord, I ask you to be with all the backslidden Christians, Lord, people that have just kind of fallen away. They never perhaps meant to, but Lord, it happened. And I pray right now that you'd work on their hearts. And I pray, God, that a revival would be set afire in their hearts, and they'd find themselves back in a Bible preaching church house, Lord, and hungry for you, Father. And Lord, I ask to be with Steph's friend's sister in the family situation there of the loss of a young one, Father. Lord, I pray you'd your spirit would dwell there, Father. And I ask to be with Lindsay tonight. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with her personal situations. You know exactly what the needs are. And I pray that you be real to Lindsay tonight, Lord. I pray again for VBS this week. Give us a wonderful week. I pray souls will be saved. I pray that the preachers will be full of your power, Lord. And I pray, God, that for the five preachers that are lined up this week, that you would just use them mightily. I pray that the hearts of the little children would be open and attentive to the preaching of your word. And I pray that by the end of the week, these kids would go home with a light that so shines and being a testimony in their own home. And that they'll be little lights all about their community and spreading the gospel. I pray, dear God, that you please, please, please work on VBS. May your will be done this week, Father. I pray bless us as we go our separate ways now. In Jesus' name, amen.